T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sundays, a day meant for family time. Some grocery shopping, perhaps. On second thought, football. Just football.
Roethlisberger looks, crosser, Brown, he caught it, fights to the goal line, breaks the plane! Touchdown, Pittsburgh!
It's time for Chicago's Fantasy Football Today with Joe Ostrowski.
His weapons on offense are his running backs, and where you go from there, I have no idea.
And Jack Thomason.
Maybe he's my new Christine Michael, my new Binky for the Seattle Seahawks running backs.
Season-long and daily fantasy football discussion all in one show.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Leave the math to the pros. These guys will help you construct the perfect lineup.
I like where this is going.
You're listening to Chicago's Fantasy Football Today on 670 The Score. Presented by Great Clips. It's gonna be great.
Week 11 is here, and we're down to just, what, 3 weeks left in the regular season for most of you people out there. Welcome into Chicago's Fantasy Football Today, every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. Then, of course, we've got the pregame show, Hub Arkers, Patrick Manley, and Dan Pompey getting you set for Bears-Lions in 1 hour from now. They'll take you up to kickoff. Good morning, Jack Thomason.
Good morning, Joe Ostrowski. You ready for week 11?
Oh, of course. We've got Not the Ones coming up. Steven Johnson's in the house. He'll join us later on in the hour. We'll talk about his start sit column and some sleepers. So a lot to get to. And, you know, usually we start off with kind of a theory on what we see in the week that is here. And, Jack, you just can't run away from this. Today is all about making your decisions. For many of you, at least half of these games, you're concerned about weather.
Yeah, the weather is definitely going to be a big issue today. You're looking at fronts that are moving through the East Coast and the Midwest, especially that Cleveland-Jacksonville game, and then most importantly, a game that a lot of people have had an eye on to load up on Chiefs players, but that Chiefs-Giants game, that's another big one that's going to be impacted today.
Yeah, let's run down these in just a minute, but quickly want to remind people, we have open phone lines. If you want to jump in, now is the best time before we get to Not the Ones and sleepers and a few other things we have going on later this hour. Any fantasy football related questions, 312-644-6767. I know some of you, your trade deadline has not passed, and that's a good thing for your league if it's set up that way. So again, phone lines open, 312-644-6767. You can also shoot us a text message. We like to fly through those throughout the hour. 670-11-67011. Follow us on Twitter at Chicago's FFT670. Tweet us your questions there. And I know you're busy. We're all busy. You're probably running around getting ready for your Sunday before the games get going. If you can't listen to the entire show, about 9:30, 10 o'clock, we post the entire commercial-free version up there so you can get through it in about half hour, 40 minutes for you there if you do miss some parts of the show. So follow us on Twitter at Chicago's FFT670. If you're not on Twitter, just look it up later, about an hour or two from now, and you'll find the show there. Weather-wise, now, let's go through the games where it's not really related. You don't really have to worry about things. Arizona, Houston, Washington, New Orleans, Buffalo, LA Chargers, Cincinnati, Denver, New England, Oakland, Philly, Dallas, Atlanta, Seattle. Jack, let's start there. If you're playing daily fantasy, are you more willing to stack your players with teams from those games? And if you have a decision where it's a pretty close decision, are you just going to automatically lean that way, players in those games?
Yeah, I would, simply just because of the fact that you take out all of the probability of some sort of negative situation taking place because of something you can't control, which is the weather. I do think that there are particular situations where you could pick and choose and be smart about things. Mm-hmm. As you know, when we talk about these weather games, right? I mean, one of the things I could call out to Jonathan Bales pulls out in his book, when you start looking at games that have gusts of winds or sustained winds over 15 miles an hour, there's actually a 10% decrease in passing efficiency. So that right there is going to say, okay, you look at a couple of these games that are dealing with the wind, why wouldn't I go with some of these dome teams or situations and high team totals like the Patriots and the Saints in potential shootout games? Why wouldn't I go over there? I think the one caveat being you can capitalize on the run game and maybe the short passing game in some of those weather issues.
Yeah, and the number one advice that we always give, and we're going to say it again, just to remind people, and I know everybody doesn't catch every minute of the show, is watch the lines. I'm looking at it right now. If anything starts moving before 9 o'clock, we will alert you to it. And when I say watch the lines, I'm not saying line movement one team or the other. What I'm saying is look at the totals. If you start seeing those totals dip, then be alerted. Maybe you want to stay off those games. And I'm talking, if something moves 3 points, that is a massive move.
Massive.
One point, I wouldn't freak out. Half a point, that could be a couple of big bets where something has moved, you know, a point. But if you start going through these key numbers, and I'll tell you what they are, if it does happen, then you're talking about something pretty wild. So far, I see the board lit up a little bit, but nothing drastic so far. Jacksonville, Cleveland, you know, the total opened at 38. It's at 37. Nothing crazy so far this morning, so it isn't something to overreact to. Something that is jumping out to me, though, Jack, is the Giants are now 10-point dogs to KC. They opened 12.5. They've been 10.5 throughout most of the week, and now they're down at that key number of 10. So a lot of the professionals are in on the Giants. But let's go through. I'm counting four games. You have four games that are really affected by the weather today?
Yeah. Yep, I'm right there, too.
Okay, let's start with Jacksonville, Cleveland. Not that you would have many Browns in your lineup, but hey, it's worth talking about, especially on the Jacksonville side, and maybe the Jacksonville defense is a play here. But the temp is going to be in the mid-30s. They're expected snow throughout the game. It's going to feel like it's in the 20s. Wind sustained, you said at least 15 miles an hour. You really see the numbers take a dip. Well, it's going to be 15 to 25 throughout the afternoon.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we were talking about here. I mean, you brought up Jacksonville's defense. I think this just makes them even more of a slam dunk play. You know, Cleveland, if anything, is going to be good at taking shots downfield with DeShone Kizer at the helm and getting Corey Coleman back. But that specific game is going to be drastically impacted. If there's one guy that I think gets a boost out of all this, it's Duke Johnson in Cleveland, simply because of the fact that he's been seeing every single week for the last 4 weeks, seeing his carries increase. And we already know that he's a key cog in the short passing game.
Yeah.
For the Browns. So
that's good.
He's the one guy in the Browns team that I'd say gets a bump.
What about Crowell?
Yeah, Crowell's going to see more carries, but against the Jacksonville defense, that since they've got Marcell Dareus, has actually been really good against the run as well. It's Duke Johnson or bust for me on the Cleveland side of things. Other than that, it's Jacksonville, Jacksonville's defense, and then Leonard Fournette if he plays.
Yeah, they're optimistic that he's played. They're calling him questionable at the moment. You're going to have to check around 10:30 when those inactives are out to see if Fournette is out there on the field. Marquise Lee is the guy in the Jags receiving group that has been hot lately. Cleveland, you can throw on them. But what's interesting about them is they give most of it up over the middle of the field. That's not where Marquise Lee's game is. So with these wind gusts, are you leaning at sitting Lee?
I would still play Lee just because of the fact that they have moved him around a little bit. You know, he's playing on the perimeter side of things, but with Allen Hurns out, I think he will see a little bit more slot work.
Yeah.
And because that's where Cleveland's, you know, weakness is in the pass game, and knowing that the wind gusts are going to be an issue, Blake Bortles was a guy that I was going to tout as a sleeper, but because of the wind, not so much anymore. But when they do move the ball in the pass game, I do expect them to move Lee into the slot a little bit more to get him open.
Okay, a little bit more of a juicy game, I believe. Just north of here, you have Baltimore at Green Bay. The temp's going to be in the mid-20s. Wind gusts, not crazy. It's going to be cold, though. 18 to 16 miles an hour. It's not like you're playing either quarterback in this game, but you have to look to the Packers' run game first.
Yeah, I think so at this point in time. I mean, you look at Baltimore. They are a tough, stingy defense. I think the call-out on the Packers side of it is going to be Davante Adams, right? I mean, he's seen the most targets since Brett Hundley has taken over.
Yeah.
He's been a guy that's been producing. He got 7 catches at, 2 weeks ago for 53 yards, I believe it was. Last week ended up catching 5 balls for 90 yards and a touchdown. He's a guy that you're going to start as a wide receiver 3 and hope for the best. But I do think it's going to be more of the run game. I don't think Jamal Williams does much, but look, If it's a volume-based situation that you're after and you need a flex or an RB3, this is a guy that's probably going to see 20-plus touches in this game.
Detroit, right here at Soldier Field, taking on the Bears. You always know, being downtown Chicago, there's going to be a wind gust. They're saying 10 to 20. It's going to feel like it's in the 20s, below freezing out there today. It's going to be a repeat of last week. Jordan Howard's got to have a good game today.
He's going to bounce back.
Well, I think they don't really have much of a choice here. They're going to have to go with the ground game. But what's interesting is if you're looking Lions offense, it's all about the passing offense and what Stafford does in Jim Bob Cooter's offense. And with Golden Tate, what he does after the catch, the Bears talking about that, Vic Fangio talking about that a bunch in his press conference on Thursday this week. So this really seems to hurt the Lions more than the Bears. And I don't see a repeat performance out of that Bears defense as bad as they looked off the bye. I don't think we're going to see that in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I actually think the Bears pull this one out and quote, upset the Lions, unquote. But, you know, it's one of those situations, to your point, that, you know, Matt Stafford is moving the ball through the air. Interestingly enough, Detroit, even though they can't move the ball running the ball, they are still attempting to get that run game going. So that way they could release some pressure off of Matt Stafford. But, you know, don't look now, but Amir Abdullah has got back-to-back games with touchdowns and averaging over 50 yards per game. I don't think he gets going in this one much. I do think the Bears defense stymies the Lions offense. And like I said, I think they pull off the upset, hopefully behind a big day of Jordan Howard.
Yeah, you know, I am concerned about my Lions, but I'm playing Golden Tate. It's not like he's streaking down the field and he's going deep to him. He's a yard after the catch. He hangs around the line of the scrimmage, gets the ball, and does what he can out in the field. So I'm playing Golden Tate.
Yeah, Marvin Jones is the guy that's impacted in that.
Yes. Marvin Jones, I probably would. You're not expecting a big game from Abdullah, but everything leans more to the run. And we saw it last week in the first half where Stafford wasn't passing as much against the Cleveland Browns inside the dome. I think the Lions are going to be forced to run more. I think you play Abdullah.
Yeah, I think you have to in this situation. I mean, we still have teams on a bye. Abdullah is at least a RB3 at this point in time. And to your point, he's leading the backfield in touches, and he's leading the Lions, and he's getting goal line work now. So at this point in time, he's an RB3 until further notice, or at least a flex play. If I got him, I'm starting him. I do think Marvin Jones is a guy that's impacted from the Lions side of things. I'm playing Golden Tate, to your point. I am reducing expectations from Matt Stafford's situation overall in the Chicago game, but I'm really hoping for a big day from Jordan Howard, man. He let us down last week, but I think that they get back to it. I do think one thing to mention, too, is the amount of snaps that Benny Cunningham played last week that's killing Tariq Cohen and also took away the upside of Jordan Howard.
Well, yeah, and Tariq Cohen's not getting on the field. The last 3 weeks, snaps are going down, and down. The media keeps asking Dow Loggins about it. He doesn't really have a reasonable explanation of why he's not on the field, but he's not
craziness.
On the field. He's saying, oh, they're getting double. He's getting double teamed. Yeah, okay. You need
he's
people
an offensive
to,
playmaker. Use him.
They don't have those.
Exactly.
Yeah, he should be on the field more. There's no doubt about it. But the fact is, right now, he's not. When we look at other teams and running backs aren't getting on the field, I mean, everything is pointing towards Jordan Howard. Maybe DFS play this week. Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. He hasn't scored a touchdown over the last 5 weeks. I don't think that's really going to continue too much. You know, I don't know if you guys are going to mention this in the sleeper battle later on in the hour, but something worth bringing up, first game in the Bears offense, 8 targets, 88 yards, Dontrell Inman might be a play if you're looking at a wide receiver 3 or in a double flex league or something.
I'm with you there. I mean, he was a clear go-to target. He tied for the team lead with those 8 targets last week. And you look at that situation with Mitchell Trubisky, and for Inman just to basically walk off the street and then come in and be his favorite target. And Trubisky very quietly threw for 297 yards last week, which is obviously a career high for him. But Inman seems to be the major benefactor here, and I definitely think he's worthwhile as a wide receiver 3.
All right, here's the juicy one of the weather. Those weather games we went over, kind of like Jacksonville, Cleveland, Baltimore, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago. Not a tough guy, not a lot of great fantasy players. But now we get to the game. This was supposed to be the Chiefs lighting up the scoreboard, and it still may be that. You have Andy Reid off the bye. His 18 years as a head coach, Andy Reid teams are 16-2 straight up off the bye, 14-4 against the spread, which is absolutely insane. So you have the Andy Reid off the bye game. They're favored by 10 on the road at the Giants. Many think the Giants have completely given up. So everything was set up for a monster game from Alex Smith, a big-time performance from Tyreek Hill, who's performed great on the road early on in his career. Don't know if that's really a thing. I think you need a larger sample size, but it's worth noting. And now you have the weather, 15 to 25 mile-an-hour winds at the Giants. The temps are going to be fine. They're expecting mid-40s. But it's really about the heavy wind and how do you adjust here. And now on the Giants side, Sterling Shepard, he looked good. He was getting a ton of targets against the 49ers a week ago. But now he's added to the injury report saying yesterday that he has migraines.
Yeah, and that's a tough one too because people are coming out really having to rely on Sterling Shepard at this point in time. Great waiver pickup, a guy that's been producing big-time numbers over the last couple of weeks. With him out, I think that allows the Chiefs defense to really focus in on Evan Engram even more so, which is a challenge. But I think
if
that
he's
also,
out.
Right. If he's out. Right now, it's looking that way, but we haven't gotten positive confirmed news that he's out. But if he is out, I think it makes it a tougher sledding day for Evan Engram. But at the same time, too, he should also be peppered with targets just because he'll be the last remaining player, you know, on the Giants pass offense. I do think Orleans Darkwood shapes up as a good play. He's been a steady volume RB2, and the Chiefs defense is very, very poor when it comes to rush defense. But again, I think this goes back to a potential onslaught for the Chiefs.
Hunt.
But I think it really sets up for Kareem Hunt.
Gets back on track.
Short passing game.
Yeah, he struggled of late. I'll tell you what, this went down earlier in the week. I'm just taking a look at the board and some of the totals we mentioned going down in a game we just were talking about here at Soldier Field. It dipped early in the week, but I just want to bring this up because it's still going down and it's significant. Bears-Lions game, the total is down to 40.5 after opening at 44. That right there is a significant move. That's the biggest move that I've seen as far as totals going down, Bears-Lions. So, for some reason, people are really concerned there.
Yeah, play your defenses in that game.
Yeah, Bears defense is a fantastic play.
Both of them, right? I mean, yeah. Lions and Bears, I mean, a total that low, you know, it keeps dropping. I'm saying play both defenses, and I think, you know, again, we go back to the Jordan Howard wheel. He's the offensive playmaker in this game that has the biggest setup for beneficiary.
We always talk about, Jack, this year how scoring has been down in the league. And the Bears Lions game doesn't even fall into this category, but I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4 games where the total is in the 30s. I mean, that's ugly.
Yeah,
ugly.
And it really is. I mean, if you look at some of the quarterback matchups this week, it's pretty
Roto.
Bad. I mean, go to Tom Savage and Blaine Gabbert just to start right there in Arizona-Houston. So you got some marquee matchups, and then we got the other side of it where it's some ugly, ugly games.
Bortles, Kizer, Hundley, Flacco.
Yes.
Dalton, yes. Osweiler.
Ugh, oof.
People are
I'm getting
be
excited for week 11, baby. Huh? Let's go.
Nah, well, don't worry about it. Your Patriots and with Brady and Carr, that should be exciting. In the elevation, perfect temperature in Mexico City. I know some people think, oh, it's at the Raiders. No, it's not. It's labeled at the Raiders, but they're playing in Mexico City. And the Patriots making it a business trip. They played at the Broncos, remember, on Sunday night. Looked great. They stayed in Denver all week, so they were dealing with the elevation, so they're not going to have to adjust as much. I think the Patriots roll later this afternoon.
Yeah, I think so, too. I want to say that I believe that the
Shocking.
Raiders will be able to hang tight. And yeah, I know, right? But still, I think, yeah, look, when they walked into Denver last week coming off the bye and they just steamrolled the Broncos, not that that's some huge accomplishment, but anytime you walk into Denver and you play that well and you beat a team in Denver, you know, with a defense that's as good as they are, I think it says a lot. I think the Patriots are starting to do what they normally do, which is get better in the second half of the season. I want to believe from a fantasy perspective that the Raiders are going to hang around and Carr is going to be able to put up some numbers. You got Cooper and Crabtree. But this Patriots defense has been pretty underrated over the last 7 weeks.
Ton of texts and tweets rolling in. We'll get to those in just a few minutes. We'll do that after, not the ones. But quickly, just want to rattle off some news in case you missed it. Phillip Rivers, he's good to go. He was cleared for Friday's practice in full. At running back, we mentioned Leonard Fournette, listed as questionable. Jaguars optimistic that he can play. Devontae Freeman is out on Monday night, so it could be a big day for Tevin Coleman. For the Packers, Ty Montgomery looks like he's out. They are down to the third running back. Danny Woodhead activated from IR, so he's going to be on the field for the Ravens against the Packers. At wide receiver, Let's take a look at Philly. Alshon Jeffrey expected to play. Zach Ertz is back in the lineup for them. We talked about Shepard and the migraines. They're calling that a game-time decision. Probably going to have to wait until 10:30 till we get news there. And for the Redskins, Jordan Reed and Terrell Pryor are both out. This is Joe Ostrowski and Jack Thomason on Chicago's Fantasy Football Today. Coming up next, we've got Not the Ones. What's that? That's where we give you a list of players that could be the highest scoring guys at their positions, but not a top 12 quarterback, running back, wide receiver, or tight end. So we dig a bit deeper, guys that could absolutely explode this today for your fantasy football team. Chicago's Fantasy Football Today is presented by Great Clips. It's going to be great. We're back next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Time for Not the Ones with Joe Ostrowski and Jack Thomason on Chicago's Fantasy Football Today.
All right, Jack, it's the holiday season. I'm in the giving mood. I'll let you go first.
Oh, you're such a nice guy, Joe. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm so confident in my picks this week. I'm just going to dominate, so it doesn't matter who you take.
Now we're talking, a little smack talk. I love it.
What you got at quarterback, QB, not in the top 12 as far as fantasy points this year, but you see having a blow-up day.
Look, I was struggling with this one, but I'm going to go with Derek Carr. I'm going to go back to that wheelhouse of the highest over-under of the day at 54 points. You're looking at the Raiders and Patriots. If the Raiders are going to stick with the Patriots, they're going to have to put points on the board. Derek Carr coming off one of his best games before the bye. You're looking at a situation here where only four teams have a higher total than the Raiders today. You're looking at a situation with a potential shootout. Even though the Patriots' defense has been very stingy, only allowing 24% scores since week five on offensive drives, Carr is going to have to put the ball in the end zone. I like Carr. I like Cooper. I like Crabtree.
Because they'll be losing by 30? Is that what you're saying?
Bingo.
Okay. Patriots homer over here. My quarterback, at first, I'm thinking Jack's going to yell at me for this one, but no. He's QB 17 on the year. He's going to Seattle. His name is Matt Ryan.
Yes.
This game on Monday has shootout potential. Each of the last 3 weeks, he's thrown for two touchdowns, so you have a floor there. Atlanta yards per play, top of the league all year, 6.1. They are tied for third. Number one in the NFL is 6.2. So they are right there. They're moving the football. It's about getting it done in the red zone. And then let's take a look at the Seattle secondary. Richard Sherman out for the year, missing his first game of his career this week. Cham Kanzler is now out for the season. Earl Thomas did practice in full on Friday. RIP the Legion of Doom, Jack. Ryan has a big game.
I love Cham Kanzler. That's a good guy. I'm going to go with running back.
I said Cam Chancellor.
I'm just messing with you, bud. Give me Jay Ajayi. I'm going to go with running back from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, that bum.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. He's horrible. Look, seven carries, 77 yards, rips off the big one for the touchdown. You know, in his first game as an Eagle.
Well, what about the when the Cowboys win?
Oh, man. You going the boys? Are you
no,
going the boys?
I'm staying far away from that game because everybody and their mother's on the Eagles.
Yeah, and look, I think it'd be wise to stay away from that one, too. But the Eagles right now are 6-point favorites on the road, that bump from 3.5-point favorites. I think, you know, they went out and they traded for Ajayi for a specific reason. They wanted that big-time pounder. They wanted the explosive run game, since they didn't have with LeGarrette Blount. If you look at the situation for Dallas, though, too, without Sean Lee, they are allowing 32 points per game, 153 rushing yards per game, and only two takeaways. With Sean Lee, 18 points per game, 80 rushing yards per game, and 10 takeaways. Sean Lee missing in this game is so big, and it'll be so instrumental to Ajayi being able to have a big blow-up day against Dallas.
No, you're right. I'd like to say divisional game, Cowboys at home, bounce-back spot, that I would like the Cowboys, but I just can't come up with an argument to take Dallas. They might win the game outright. They might. But without Zeke, and you mentioned Lee and the issues on the offensive line, I just...
No Tyron Smith. It's a tough one.
How do you make an argument? At running back, I'm going to go... This was tough. I wanted to go Chris Thompson, but for the year, his scoring, he's top 10 at running back. So I'm going to go with Jamal Williams going up against the Baltimore Ravens. This is all about volume with Ty Montgomery and Aaron Jones both out for Green Bay. Baltimore's a difficult matchup, not an impossible matchup. We're not talking about Minnesota, Denver, or Carolina against the run. Not quite that dominant. They are actually, by the numbers, middle of the road this year. So based on volume, I'm going Jamal Williams. Who do you have at receiver?
Oh, man, I'm going right back to the well, bud. I'm taking Brandon Cooks. And believe it or not, he's had the floor this year, and not necessarily the ceiling. But this is a monster game where Brandon Cooks can absolutely torch the Oakland Raiders, whose perimeter defensive backs have been absolutely brutal this year. They're out Amerson. Sean Smith has been a complete joke. Brandon Cooks touched up while he was a member of the New Orleans Saints last year, the Raiders, for 6 catches, 143 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I look for him to have a monster day today and the number one wide receiver on the board.
You know, let's stay in that same game. I'm going to go to the other side. I'll let you pick because either guy qualifies. You tell me, Cooper or Crabtree?
I'm taking Cooper today, buddy.
Okay, Cooper, he's wide receiver 35 on the year. Ouch. But, yeah, give me Cooper. Last 3 games of targets, 9, 10, 19. Derek Carr is going his way, and like you, I believe that he's going to have to pass a lot to stay in this game or get back in the game. Give me Amari Cooper, and give me a tight end.
Hey, look, I'm going back to the same place that I've been pretty much every single week that Jordan Reed has been out. It's Vernon Davis. Quietly, he's been the tight end 5-6-6 in the 3 games that Jordan Reed has missed this year, so he's a top 6 tight end at bare minimum. It's a potential shootout. We talked about this game. Saints and Redskins in the Dome. New Orleans has got a big-time team total, second highest on the board. If the Redskins are going to keep up, it's going to be through the passing game. And like you said, mentioned earlier with Chris Thompson, I think it's going to be through Thompson and it's going to be through Vernon Davis to try and keep up with the Saints.
All right. You beat me to the punch of Vernon Davis. Like that pick. So I am going to go. You know how it is once you get outside the top 12 tight ends. It's rough.
Oh, it's ugly.
I'm going to go
it's
to
ugly.
A weather game. Mercedes Lewis at the Browns. This is a nice matchup. The Browns have given up the 3rd most fantasy points per week against the tight end position, according to Football Outsiders DVOA. 2nd worst against the tight end position. 4 for 4, they're saying average adjusted fantasy points per week. They are 2nd worst against tight ends. Last couple weeks, 5 targets, 6 targets. I'm going to go Mercedes Lewis. Blake Bortles, don't you dare go deep here today in this weather, because then the game could get ugly and the Browns could hang around and maybe pull off the upset. But I will go with Mercedes Lewis. So my not the ones, Matt Ryan, Jamal Williams, Amari Cooper, Mercedes Lewis, Jax, Derek Carr, Jay Ajayi, Brandon Cooks, Vernon Davis. Who won, Jack?
Steven Johnson is so excited that you just said Mercedes Lewis. I'm just going to tell you that.
Oh, but, it's a sleeper?
Oh, he loves Lewis today. He'll tell you all about it in a little bit. Okay. I'm gonna say I won just because.
This
why not?
Horrible. How'd that Jay Ajayi pick? Disgusting. Eli shook his head in shame when he said,
"Come
Jay
on,
Ajayi.
Eli. Come on,
no,
Eli.
I never did that to Jack. I only do that to Joe. I like Jack."
All right. So if you missed any of them, Eli just tweeted them out at Chicago's FFT670. Oh, by the way, Jack, you didn't hear this off the air. I got a bet with Eli about how many followers we can get on Twitter during the show. And let me tell you, Eli doesn't have much faith in our listeners on Sunday morning between 8 and 9.
So I
guessed 4 times what he guessed because I have faith in our listeners. So give us a follow on Twitter. Make me right so I win the bet with Eli at Chicago's FFT670. Your incentive? I'm forcing Eli to follow you back on Twitter. So Eli will lose this bet. So follow us at Chicago's FFT670 just so this little punk that doesn't believe in you guys is wrong. If you're not on Twitter, sign up quickly. It takes 1 minute, and you get some great fantasy football information by following us there. So just so Eli loses this bet, help me out.
I am 100% believer in our listeners that they get up, regardless of a long Saturday night, they get up and they listen just so they can hear about this fantastic fantasy football knowledge that we want to share.
I mean, what's wrong with this guy?
Right? Come on, Eli.
All right, let's get to some tweets. Some people that did tweet us there, some questions. This comes from BR Mata 316. Looks like Shepard's not playing, needs 2. McKinnon, Burkhead, Keenum. Keenum, how is he even? Oh, he's got QB flex spots.
Yeah,
Mixon
QB
and
flex.
Parker. I know you like Parker today. You know, I like McKinnon and Burkhead as well. I would actually go McKinnon, even though he split snaps last week. I think this is going to be a big day for the Minnesota offense, and I think they take down the Rams.
Yeah, and I'm with you there. I actually, I'm a big fan of Parker, and I love what the perimeter wide receivers have done to Tampa Bay's cornerbacks all year long. But in this particular situation, I'm going to take the guys that get the dual threat opportunity for touches. I mean, I'm going to take the guys that are going to get carries and get the receptions. So I'll take McKinnon and Burkhead there with you.
All right, Carl Grabowski asks, flex spot. Chris Thompson or Tyreek Hill? This is interesting. We're big on Chris Thompson this week yes. in the Dome, but Tyreek Hill is going to have to deal with the weather issues at the Giants, but it's against the Giants, and he can hang around the line of scrimmage, and Alex Smith will probably find him, right? Andy Reid off the bye, too. This is tough.
Yeah, this is a tough one, and I do like Hill, but I'm going with Thompson in this one.
Wow.
If you look at the games that Robert Kelly has been out of, you're looking at Chris Thompson. He's averaged 12 carries and 6 targets per game. In the games that Kelly has played in, he's only seen 5.1 carries per game and 5.8 targets per game. So Thompson's workload increases significantly, and this is a guy that, again, because of dual threat ability, has the opportunity in a potential shootout to go off, and he put up big-time yardage totals in the games that Kelly has missed since.
Hunter Henry or Jason Witten?
I'll take Jason Witten. He's the guy that's going to be the reliable safety blanket in a game that, again, Dallas will probably be trailing and having to try and play catch-up. Philadelphia is good against the tight end, but we saw it last week in Atlanta, who is number two against the tight end. You look at Jason Witten, and he caught, I think it was 7 balls for over 70 yards.
That game much more likely to be a shootout, too, right?
I think so, yeah.
People are texting at 67011. They're following. Guys, we're almost there to where I beat the bet. Eli's already crushed. He's gone. But follow us on Twitter at Chicago's FFT670. Let's go through some text messages. Everybody wants to know what to do with Tyreek Hill. Guys, I don't think he falls into the category of studs, but he's a big-time playmaker. When you give Andy Reid that extra time, this is a trend I'm going to believe in because we have 18 years sample size. I want Tyreek Hill on the field. I have him in some leagues. I'm playing him today, even with that win.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, it's Tyreek Hill's the type of guy that it's one play and he takes it to the house. And to your point, look, we talked about the wind. We know how it could impact the game. Tyreek Hill is definitely a downfield threat. But oh, by the way, he's the type of guy that gets a lot of screens around the line of scrimmage. They could easily dump it off to him behind the line of scrimmage and he could take it to the house. You could get the value of him if they decide to put the ball in his hands as a punt returner, a kick returner at any point in the game. You play a guy like Tyreek Hill, I don't care what the situation is. You better have 3 studs if you're thinking about benching Tyreek Hill or 2 studs at the wide receiver position. Otherwise, he's a lock start. Stop thinking about it regardless of the weather.
Hey, you know what? Good news. We forgot to mention this earlier. Last week of buys. Last week.
Thank goodness, right?
Yeah,
it's about time.
You.
I feel like it's drug on all season long.
You know, it was supposed to be compacted into the middle of the season, and it was. But it does feel like maybe it's because we had those weeks where we had 6 teams on buys.
Yeah, that was tough.
They did get it out of the way with the couple of weeks before the end of the regular season here. Here's a good one. I like this question just because of the Bears defense and the potential weather at Soldier Field. Stafford or Rivers?
Ooh, I'm taking Rivers. You know I like Rivers earlier in the week. I'm a fan. I know Buffalo has been pretty stingy, but here's the deal. You look at the Buffalo's defense of late. Yes, they have completely melted down after trading Marcell Dareus in the rush defense category, but Phillip Rivers, man, he always gets it done. Yeah, he's frustrating, and he could be a real challenge to own, but I think at home, the line's up to 6-point favorites now. I like the way it sets up for Melvin Gordon, but I do think Phillip Rivers is good for 250 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and Eli's bringing up in my ear that, you know, he was all right last week, even though, they put up 17 or 20 points against Jacksonville. That's the toughest matchup every week for a passing offense. So, yeah, I like Rivers,
too. He still
went
for 240 and 2 last week.
Yeah, he got a little bit in overtime. They should have ended up winning that game. That game was just, Bortles, please.
Yeah, that was ugly. That was really ugly.
That Jaguars schedule really lightens up. If you have some offensive pieces or you're thinking about picking some up, the Jaguars schedule the rest of the way is super, super easy. Need legal advice by a reputable attorney? Send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legaladvice. Look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. That's cbschicago.com/legaladvice. Coming up next, we welcome in the 2017 Score Fantasy Football expert Stephen Johnson in studio. Talk about his top starts and sits, and we'll get into some sleepers. And you guys are coming through. You're coming through. We're not quite at the goal that I set before 9 o'clock. So follow us on Twitter at Chicago's FFT670. Oh, one away. Be the guy that helps me get through. Look at Eli. He's so mad right now. He's like, you should do this every week. You owe me a lot of money now. You understand this. Chicago's Fantasy Football Today on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Chicago's Fantasy Football Today with Joe Ostrowski and Jack Thomason on 670 The Score.
with you till 9 o'clock. Then we've got Bears-Lions pregame. Hub Arkers, Patrick Manley, and Dan Pape in studio with you for 3 full hours, getting you set for today on the lakefront. We now welcome in Stephen Johnson, the 2017 Score fantasy football expert. You follow him on Twitter, at Stephen_Roto. Morning, Stephen.
Morning.
How's the other side of the glass?
Word on the street is Eli will buy us all steak dinners if we get to 300 by 9 o'clock.
All right, Eli.
He's very upset. He's in the corner crying. Like, you tricked me. You guys are coming through. I mean, you just... I'm not even going to say in the air. It's quite embarrassing how little faith he has in our listeners.
Hey, we need 52 more. 52 more. It's doable. Let's go.
I'll tell you, Jack.
Come on, Chicago.
He said his bet, and we put money on the line here. He said 5. I was like, what?
Wow.
What is wrong with you? 5? Wow. Are you kidding me? It's week 11. This is a big week. 3 weeks left in the fantasy football regular season. Come on. All right, Steven. Every Thursday on 670thescore.com, you've got your stardom and sit-em column. You are with us on Derek Carr, a big game later today. Now, the guy that's just been blowing up,
yes,
and I'm not saying I disagree, you're saying a guy that has done things, he's gotten you wins, you're sitting Jared Goff.
Yes, this week it's the last matchup on his schedule that I'm looking at as a definite sit for Jared Goff. You look at what the Vikings have been able to do this year. Just in the last four out of five games, they've allowed less than 190 yards passing. You look at the games that Goff has played against this year, the Colts, the Niners, Cowboys, Cardinals, Giants, Texans, not good secondaries. He's been thriving off of those. Vikings very good. And in the top 10 defenses that Goff has played, he has struggled. Looking at Seattle when they were actually healthy and the Jaguars as well. This is a very dangerous matchup for Goff this week.
You're with us on Chris Thompson. Man, this is an echo chamber here.
Yeah, right.
This is 2 weeks in a row. I'm confused.
So you know what's going to happen. It's going to be absolutely nothing today.
I know.
You're sitting Joe Mixon at the Broncos. The Broncos, one of the toughest run D's. It certainly makes sense. I have no idea what's going to happen in the game. The Bengals might end up winning that game, and they run the ball later, but I really don't have much faith in either team.
Yeah, it's possible, but the other aspect here, not just on Denver, but on the Bengals' offensive line, Mixon is getting the least amount of yards before contact on his carries in the NFL. That is bad. Absolutely bad. You time that up with the Broncos and the way their defense. Yeah, it hasn't been great lately, but still, it's a formidable defense, especially on the running side of things. I'd stay away from them altogether here.
I'm glad I think, go ahead, Jack.
I was just going to say on the Joe Mixon thing, just for the crazy dynasty owners out there, I think the cool thing to call out about that, though, is he's also top 5 in yards after contact. So stay with Mixon. This is more about the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line than it is Joe Mixon and his talent. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you completely because Mixon today is a boomer bust touchdown prospect. That's about it.
I'm glad I didn't read this article.
Yeah,
for Thursday.
Not too many
Walker.
Guys. Yeah,
played him.
I was going to ask you about sitting him.
I was going to say there's a reason why this was my first Thursday night pick because I hate those games with a passion, especially when it comes to fantasy because they're so volatile.
And if you were wrong, we were going to rip on you.
Oh, I know. That's what I wait for. So,
hey, I'll say the other thing, though. The one thing that keeps you saving face on Delanie Walker's sit is even though he had 6 catches for 92 yards, that wide-open touchdown pass that he dropped was the most disgusting thing I think I've ever seen in the NFL. It was gross.
It was unbelievable. I could not believe he missed that ball.
Yeah, owners were pulling their hair out of the head just for that, and they're not even happy anymore about the production that he did give them.
That game on Thursday is why you drafted Antonio Brown in the first round.
Yep. Oh, my gosh.
He got you a win.
Beautiful.
You feel so great going into week 11. Unless your opponent has Ben Roethlisberger or somebody that just goes nuts today, you won this week if you have Antonio Brown.
That good. He's that good. I mean, you literally crush the souls of your opponent on Thursday night, and it just makes it all that much better.
You know what time it is.
Which players will surprise this week?
I'm not really good at predicting the news.
Let's give you some sleepers on Chicago's Fantasy Football Today.
All right, I have no idea who Steven and Jack are going to be taking in this battle. I know Jack won a couple weeks ago. Steven, did you win last week?
I won the initial, but I don't think they came through very strong, okay. So we're going to try
all
and fix
that. All
that
matters is what happens on the air here. That's about the process here. All right, so you won last week. Let's go to you first. Let's go in order. Let's go quarterback. What you got?
If you could get a quarterback who's thrown for multiple touchdowns each of his last 4 games, is going against a defense that's allowed nearly 27 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks in road matchups, would you take him? I would. It's Jay Cutler going against the Buccaneers.
All right, check mark to Jack. Who you got, yeah. Jack? No, I don't even know who you have.
Listen, I'm going to say, once I name this guy, you're going to send the check mark back the other way. We talked about this earlier today. Look, I'm going with Joe Flacco. And I'm throwing up in my mouth as I say that a little bit. But here's the deal. He's coming off his best game of the season, 261 yards and two touchdowns against Titans defense. Yes, they're bad. But here's the deal. Green Bay is also bad. They're 8th in DVOA against the run, but they're 23rd in DVOA against the pass. Flacco gets a full complement of weapons, a healthy Jeremy Maclin, a healthy Danny Woodhead coming off injury reserve. If they're going to win today in Green Bay, I do think there's the opportunity that Flacco gets you 250 and two touchdowns, which as a sleeper, as Joe Flacco, that's good enough.
I refuse to give the nod to either of you. I refuse.
Push.
I may have picked a side if one of you said Blaine Gabbert, because we're going to get some legs there. We're going to get some rushing yards there.
We did talk about
him.
He
was my backup there.
That Houston matchup, I refuse to say either of you won that one. Running back, Jack, your turn.
All right, I'm going with Doug Martin in Tampa Bay. I know he's been brutal. I know fantasy owners want to pull their hair out of the head because he hasn't done anything for them. But here's the deal. He's got 19 or more carries in three of the last four games. Miami is completely imploding. And oh, by the way, they have allowed back-to-back-to-back best rushing day performances to three not-so-hot running backs. Jonathan Stewart, Marshawn Lynch, and Alex Collins. I think Doug Martin gets his today. They're favorites in Miami. I think Martin finally gets in the end zone and breaks 100 yards.
All right, Steven.
Rex Burkhead going to that Patriots-Raiders game down in Mexico City. Burkhead has now scored 15 points in PPR leagues in back-to-back games. Also led all Patriots running backs with 36 snaps last week. I bet that number increases this week. Raiders allowing fifth most receptions to running backs this season.
In all leagues that I've been in this year, very late I drafted Rex Burkhead, and it was the guy that I refused to let go, even though everything was saying it's time to move on. I saw this coming at the end of the year, and here we are, and Burkhead is doing things for the Patriots. I have to go with Steven here. Yeah. Even though Jack is probably thinking he's not a sleeper, but let's go to receiver, Steven.
We're going to go back into Flacco land. We're going to go to Jeremy Maclin with the Ravens going up against the Packers. Packers have been torched against wide receivers each of the last 3 weeks, giving up an average of 231 yards per game. Bad. Worst average over the season right now is just 186 with the Chiefs. But Maclin has shown signs of life after a slow start to the season, averaging 17.5 PPR points per game in the Ravens' last two contests.
All right, Jack.
Yeah, I like Maclin today, too. And I'm going to go with Jamison Crowder, bud. I mean, the reason why is simple. 24 targets the last two games, 13 receptions, 199 yards. This is a guy that most people banked on and drafted pretty high as their wide receiver two, and he has not at all come out and played the way he needed to. But he's going to avoid Marshawn Lattimore. He's going to be in the slot, and as long as he's seeing that type of volume in a potential shootout, I like Jamison Crowder today.
You know, I like both plays. I'm probably going – there's a decent chance I have Maclin and Crowder in my main daily fantasy lineup for cash games, so – I'm going double check, so I give the advantage to Steven. Do you guys have any tight ends you want to throw out real quick?
I'm going with Austin Hooper, man. Six targets in five of the last six games. No Cam Chancellor. You like Matt Ryan. I like Austin Hooper to be on the receiving end of the touchdown.
He was in a sit start. Tyler Croft. You guys talked about him
as
well.
Bad.
Broncos, very bad against tight ends.
He gets the targets.
Let it rip.
He gets the targets, but Steven Johnson won this week, Jack. Sorry.
Yeah, whatever.
If you missed any of the show, we'll have it tweeted out, a link to the commercial-free version in about a half hour at Chicago's FFT670 on Twitter. Thank you for helping us crush Eli. It's never difficult to do that, but you guys came through. Eli had no faith in you guys, and you helped me out, and we won some money. And that means Eli's buying breakfast during the playoffs also. That's what it means. It's going to be great. Coming up next, Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, Dan Pompey for Bears Lions Pre. Chicago's Fantasy Football Today was presented by Great Clips. It's going to be great.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Fantasy Football Today, presented by Great Clips. It's going to be great. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Chicago's FFT670.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.